This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Is it curling up on the couch for a cozy, peaceful night in? Therapy can feel a bit like that, your comfort place where you replenish your energy. With BetterHelp, get matched with a therapist based on your needs entirely online. It's convenient and suited to your schedule. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday. You know what that means? We're here to hang out with you.
We out here.
You chose us to hang out with you and kickstart your work week. And for that, we thank you. And we're
ordered fate. Did fate choose for you?
Cruel fate. Well. Cruel, cruel fate. If you're new here, which we hope you are, because that's how we grow. And you don't like listening to us talk, fast forward to about that 4.5-5 minute mark, and you'll get to where you need to be. If you're not new here, and you do like to listen to us talk, just hang out. Because I got a new 40 and 50 for you that's coming from the West Coast, California. And I know we already did a California cryptid episode, but guess what? I do whatever I want. So
this is true.
Suck it. That's how it is. Where are we at? Oh, yeah. Okay, before we get into that, we got to get through all the business. So check us out at all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Discord, Reddit, Twitter, all those. Search up Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come join the cult. Be part of the community. It's just a cool thing to do. Everybody has a good time. It's just a thing. It'll be fun. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future episode of The Listener Experience, Kyle's got some information you're going to want to jot down.
I do. It's all in the show notes. It's easy. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out. Shoot it over there. Then it goes to the patent pending filing process and on to an episode. That's how it goes. That's how we do it. You love it. We love it. Get with it.
It's the patented Hollow system. Patented.
It is. We have a lot of patents.
Yeah. That's what we do in our free time. If you'd like to support the show, which I'm sure you are after that intro, plenty of ways you can do it. Mere $7 a month. Just seven. Just $7. You can go and become a member of the Patreon. And you get extra shows. I think there's about 50 over there now. You get early access to our regular shows. Ad-free regular shows. Access to Patreon exclusive Casket Breath metal, coupons to our store on occasion. It's pretty good time. Just sign up what you're thinking. Store, HollowSkyPodcast.com. Got t-shirts, hats, stickers, cool shit. It's cool. Go over there and be cool. rep the coolest gear in the paranormal podcast world. I stand on that. You can also share the show word of mouth. It's the best thing you can do. Love it. Help spread the word of the cult. It's as easy as that. If you want some QR code stickers, hit me up in some of the social media DMs, and I will shoot those over to you. You can also leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast at your podcatcher of choice. And if I find it, I will shout you out. I'm trying my best. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Camino Can't Wait. I hope you're talking about the Hell Camino.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for it either. Camino says, 5 stars. It's like a party in my ears. Hell yeah. The best blacklisted podcast out there. Keep up the good work and let it rip. Camino, we are the best blacklisted podcast out there.
I would second and third that nomination.
That's how it is. We are shadow banned in every first, second, and third world country on every media platform.
Maybe the underwater aliens get to listen to us.
You'd think they'd boost our downloads a little bit if they're...
No, they probably hijacked the signal.
Yeah, they are light thousands of years more advanced than we are.
Yeah.
They're probably just hijacking our brainwaves, and this is just their thoughts going out.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
It tracks. But yeah, Camino, thanks so much for the 5 stars. We did hit 1K in our ratings and reviews. Still at a 4.7. That's not too shabby.
Yeah,
we're going to need some more fives. We're going to need some more fives to boost it. But yeah, thanks for everybody that does that. Okay, getting into it. We are diving in 40 and 50 back at it. I know that a lot of people want their states to fall into the 40 and 50. And it's going to take some time because we don't do this on the regular. We're just at our own pace here.
Yeah, once in a while. Little treat.
It's a little treat, little nugget. Today's is California. Like I said, I know we've done the California cryptids, which I tried not to overlap those, but everybody's probably forgot about them at this point. So it's whatever. I think I got one. I think I put the Dark Watchers in here just because they're cool, but I didn't go into them as much as the other one. That being said, use a bunch of different sources. The Cryptid Fandom Wiki, just regular Wikipedia, hauntedplaces.us, all sorts of stuff. California, as we know, is a state that's got a lot of weird shit going on, paranormally and otherwise. So I'm not really touching on any of the necessarily heavy hitters here because they could easily be a show on their own, like all the weird stuff that goes on in Mount Shasta, the Lumerians, the Winchester House, like Bohemian Grove, any of that stuff. We're just going to file that away for possible future episodes. We're going to talk about some lesser known weirdness here. We're going to kick it off with the cryptid, which is awesome. The first cryptid on deck here is known as the Riverside. Wow, we're starting off good. Riverside Bridge Monster, also known as the Riverside Monster or the Brain Tickler of Riverside.
Okay, I'd like to know where that comes from.
Which is my favorite moniker ever. It's a bizarre, lanky cryptid that was first encountered by a man named Charles Wetzel on November 8, 1958. The creature was described as tall and lanky with a protuberant mouth and glowing green eyes.
I feel like this is the plot for the Riddler.
I hope it is.
If you really think about it.
I hope it is.
Because the dude's last name is like Wetzel. Ah, it just feels very riddly.
Yeah, and is a brain tickler. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's another name for the Riddler.
Yeah, and then you have the green eyes. Well, the Riddler wore green.
Green Goblin.
Green Goblin.
The Green Mile.
You know, it's just played by William Dafoe.
And, writes you know, itself.
Yeah. Just way too many connections.
Yeah, Kyle solved it.
This is
the next plot line to the next Batman movie.
Yes.
So our buddy Charles Wetzel here was just minding his own business, just driving home. Unfortunately, he was driving home on November 8, 1958. And as he neared the specific intersection between North Main Street and Santa Ana River, he found that the river was overflowing crossing the road. So he slowed down. Safety first. You're not going to try to drive over an overflowed river.
That's good thinking. Yeah. Good thinking.
So as he pulled up, all of a sudden his radio started to static itself out. Sus, but he probably wasn't paying all that much attention since there was a giant flood going on. Almost simultaneously that his radio went to static, something leaped out of the brush and landed right in front of his car. He said, quote, oh, here's more more Batman stuff, okay? Quote, it had a round scarecrowish head like something out of Halloween. It wasn't weird. Human. It had longer arms than anything I'd ever seen. When it saw me in the car, it reached all the way back to the windshield and began clawing at me. It didn't have any ears. Its face was all round. The eyes were shining like something fluorescent, and it had a protuberant mouth. He later recalled that the thing's legs stuck out sideways from its body, and its skin looked scaly, almost like leaves, like it had a scale ghillie suit on.
That's a really gross description. And I'm assuming that the mouth is essentially like a mosquito mouth.
That's kind of what I thought, too. Gross.
Yeah, or like a butterfly with the thing. Yeah, it's not cool.
Probesis.
Gross. It sounds like a really disturbing medical term.
Yeah. And it was like, apparently it was super, like I saw some descriptions. I don't know that they were necessarily drawn by Wetzel, but it was like real long and lanky and very insecty. The lanky creature clawed at the windshield and screeched at Wetzel. Wetzel, always having that thing on him, grabbed for his .22 pistol he kept under the seat. But he quickly changed his mind about opening the window or shooting directly through the windshield that separated him from the monster. So he did the next best thing. Just gunned it. The thing tumbled over the hood of the car to the ground, not caring what the thing was, or particularly concerned for its safety. Wetzel ran over it. 10 toes down.
He should have went earnest on it and ran back over it in reverse.
Yes. Choosing violence, which is what we should do when we encounter non-human intelligences. I've been preaching
Or giant mosquitoes.
It's brain-tickling, face-clawing mosquitoes.
Ugh.
So, yeah, Wetzel just smashed it. He felt it scraping underneath the car, and he heard screaming and gurgling from the creature as he sped away. He hightailed it to the nearest police station, which is Riverside Police Station. Officers noted and documented scratches on the hood and windshield and smears along the oil-covered underside of the car. They went to the scene later with bloodhounds but found nothing. The next night, another spook driver reported a similar experience, which is also weird, but I did not find that particular experience. But the fact that two people saw something strange in the same area kind of feels like something was going on.
Yeah, and he had damage to the vehicle to prove his claims.
He at least encountered something.
Yeah, and I feel like in those cases, you almost wish you had like some rope.
They're just throwing the trunk.
Like lasso its feet and then just drag it behind the car or something. Or throw it in the trunk.
It's got to be resilient if you run over it.
That's what I'm saying.
And then it just still scampers away. I'm not trying to scamper away. If I get hit by a... You assume that's a big body car in 58.
Yeah.
It'd be a heavy some bitch.
Hopefully those things don't breed like mosquitoes.
To be noted that if anyone else saw the pumpkin-headed ghoul, they kept it to themselves. And the Santa Ana River Basin where this was seen has really not had a whole lot going on as far as paranormal experiences go. But there was a spate of Bigfoot tracks that were discovered in the same area about 10 years later in the early 70s. A weird note that I found here. So Lauren Coleman, paranormal researcher, cryptid extraordinaire, wrote this book called Mysterious America, and he has this cool little chapter in it called What's in a Name. And he talks about how kind of like how areas named like the Devil's Elbow or some shit always has like missing people, always has a bunch of cryptid stuff. But he went on to talk about specific people's names. Wetzel was high on the list of names of people that have weird encounters, which is bizarre, right?
I never, ever would have thought that.
Yep. Next time you come, I've got the book. Next time you come over, you have to read it because there's
weird.
Wetzel was high on the list along with Fayette, Hobbs, and of course, anything associated with the devil.
Coleman, you know what? I could actually see Fayette and Hobbs having links because it sounds very Fay-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Even Hobbs kind of makes you, it makes me picture like a little gnome or something.
Yeah.
No disrespect to my Hobbs out there, of course. But it does, it gives a vibe. But what is Wetzel?
It's weird because
I feel like it's like the lead singer of Rammstein with a pretzel.
It is.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Lauren Coleman went on to note that he found another case the exact same year in Nebraska from a man named Charles Wetzel, who had also had a cryptid on his property that resembled a kangaroo hopping around.
I was going to say, to be fair, weird that the Wetzels of the world are having encounters. I thought you were going to say the other Wetzel also had an encounter with a giant
Probesus.
Yeah.
Oh, but a kangaroo, which is also still weird.
Definitely weird. Did it have a long mouth too?
It didn't say. It said resembled a kangaroo. So it could.
I'm going to say that it did. I'm going to say that it did.
He also notes that both of the men also had sons named Charles Wetzel.
What the fuck?
So it's a little synchronicity, oddness in the weirdness. So if any listeners named Charles Wetzel has weird shit going on.
Or know anybody.
Yeah. If you know a Charles Wetzel, he probably has cryptids in his barn. Just how it is.
It makes you wonder. I don't know. There's so many possibilities with that.
Yeah.
Like a generational curse or like a curse like dedicated chosen. To name.
It's almost like it's chosen.
It's definitely weird, man.
Sucks. I hope my name's on that list. It needs to be.
Or if it maybe just got programmed into the Matrix that anyone who names somebody this name, you suck.
Yeah. Here's a giant leg mosquito and a kangaroo man.
We're just going to tie it to the most bizarre things ever.
Yeah, that's another one. Like, it's not even like normal cryptids like Bigfoot or Mothman. It's these one-off weirdos. But yeah, Charles Wetzel, the Riverside brain tickler. Which makes like that has some weird connotations, especially if you've got like a long mouth and.
Yeah, I want to know why specifically it's called the brain tickler.
Probably,
I
mean, lick his ear or something weird.
Yeah, we definitely can picture why it's called the brain tickler because of its Probethus fucking mouth, freaking mouth, but. It would assume you would assume that it stuck in somebody's brain.
May have.
Maybe that's where they got the plot from Starship Troopers.
The drawings, you can look it up. If you just type in Riverside Bridge Monster, it kind of has this weird like rake kind of crawler vibe to it, but almost also crossed with an insect. The drawings are weird.
What year was this again?
58.
Been a hot minute. Man, the 50s were fucking weird. Freaking weird.
Because a bunch of UFOs crashed 10 years before. Now you got all this weird shit running around.
Yeah.
That's why you always punch first, ask later.
No, I'm with it.
Next, we're going on to the, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this word on social media, but we're going to run with it, the Suicide Bridge in Pasadena, California, also known as the Colorado Street Bridge. 1913, the Colorado Street Bridge in Pasadena, California. Wowed travelers crossing its causeway, but soon took a more sinister note when people began throwing themselves from the 150-foot-high bridge to their deaths. Within a decade of its construction, locals began calling it the moniker of, quote, suicide bridge. And as you can imagine, it kind of became its own piece of lore. So this giant bridge spans 1,467 feet across the Arroyo Seco, which is a deeply cut canyon linking San Gabriel Mountains to the Los Angeles River, containing the Arroyo Seco stream, for which the canyon is named after. The bridge is often incorrectly called the Arroyo Seco Bridge, but it is not. It is the Colorado Street Bridge. The first tragedy on the bridge occurred before construction was even complete. Allegedly, when one of the bridge workers toppled over the side and plunged headfirst into a vat of wet concrete. God damn it. His co-workers assumed that he could not be saved in time and left his body in the quick-drying cement. He was the first of many souls that are said to haunt the, quote, suicide bridge. They just left.
What's with all the comic book references tonight?
It's California. It doesn't even exist.
That's true. That's true. Also, real quick, while we're off topic, isn't there a bridge over in Europe somewhere where dogs jump off of it?
Yeah. 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 We could do an episode on that too.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, you wouldn't think, but I guess, no, that's not true. Humans are maybe not as perceptive, but we still are perceptive to certain audio ranges and frequencies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because isn't that like one of the leading theories with that dog bridge is that it has something to do with the, whether it's the harmonics, the frequencies.
I've heard that.
Yeah. It messes with the dogs and it causes them to leap.
Yep. I have heard that. It also makes me kind of think of like, I don't know the French word for it, but there's a French name for the call of the void. Like that feeling you get when you're like up on a high place and you're like, man, I wonder what happened if I just jumped. What if I just let go?
I know what the word is. They go, oh, oh,
oh. You guys didn't know Kyle was fluent in French, did you?
I'm 100% fluent.
But yeah, and like all kinds of weird brain things happen. Like when people just like have this compelling urge, just like walk out into the ocean or some shit. But they say it's kind of connected to the same thing. But where are we at here? Oh yeah, quick drying concrete. Dude fell in it. All his bridge brothers there are like, he's lost cause.
Does concrete act like, does it actually dry that fast?
I'm going to say no.
That's where I'm at, because I've worked with some quickcrete and it doesn't dry that fast.
No, it doesn't dry fast enough for you motherfuckers not to pull me out of it.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I love how they just straight up abandoned him.
Hey guys, help me out here. And they just kept dumping concrete on it. No, you're gone, bud.
Yeah, it's drying, man.
You're lost. The first actual suicide at the bridge occurred November 16th, 1919, followed by several others, especially during the Great Depression. Not just a clever name. Over the next years, it's estimated that more than 100 people took their lives leaping over the 150-foot bridge into the Arroyo Canyon below, which is...
That's significant.
A lot. You think from 1920, it's barely been 100 years. That's one person a year if you break it up.
Yeah, the only other thing that I would be curious about is if you were to run those statistics against like other bridges, namely in that region, because I know that like California is usually a pretty well talked about state as far as the weather and stuff like that goes. Now you have places up in like Seattle and stuff where it's gloomy a lot.
Depression's up,
and people, you know, also tend to do bad things.
you also have to take into consideration how much traffic the bridge gets. Because if it's not, like some bridges are like the Golden Gate Bridge, you have hundreds of thousands of people cross that some bitch every week.
Right.
You know, and it's a notable bridge that people jump off of. But like, if this one's not that busy, that could push those odds way higher than they should be.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely could, especially when you take into consideration there, unfortunately, there are some people out there that don't have people that care about them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So somebody could jump off there and nobody would ever know if it's not a well-traveled bridge and so on and so forth.
Crazy. One of the more notable self-offings was a despondent mother who threw her baby girl over the railing on May 1st, 1937. She then followed her into the depths of the canyon. Though the mother passed away, the child miraculously survived. Her mother had accidentally tossed her into some nearby trees where she was later recovered from the thick branches by firefighters. So that's a little silver lining on a dark story there. By the 1980s, the bridge had fallen into significant disrepair. Chunks of concrete began falling from its railings and arches. After the Loma Prieta earthquake of 89, the bridge was closed as a precautionary measure. Eventually, federal, state, and local funds were provided to do over $27 million in renovation costs. The bridge was reopened in 93, complete with its original detail. Also installed was a suicide prevention rail, though the number of suicides decreased throughout the years. The bridge continues to retain its nickname and the ghostly legends behind it. According to tales, several spirits are said to wander the bridge and in the arroyo below. Others have heard unexplained cries coming from the canyon. One report tells of a spectral man often seen wandering the bridge wearing wire-rimmed glasses. Other people have claimed to see a woman in a long flowing robe who stands atop one of the railings before vanishing as she throws herself over the side. In the arroyo below, phantom forms have been seen walking over riverbeds. Several unexplained sounds are often heard, and the atmosphere is often described as thick and ominous. Ominous.
Hip-hop anonymous.
Hip-hop anonymous. If anybody lives in the area, California listeners, I know California's way the F up there on the states where we get our downloads from. If anybody lives in the area and is privy to the bridge, shoot us some pictures on the socials.
Yeah.
And if you have ever been down there and seen any weird shit, let us know. Because that's cool to have boots on the ground.
How terrible would it be to witness the ghost jumping off the bridge?
It would suck.
Dude, that would mess me up because I would not assume that it's a ghost.
No. No, that'd be the last thing. I wonder if the like Riverside or the Riverside, I'm still in the last one. If the local police department ever gets calls from people seeing the ghost.
Oh, that's a good question.
Throw themselves off.
That's a good question. And it also makes you wonder with such deep roots is if the land was cursed or something like that, too.
Like there's a guy in the concrete.
True.
Which you also heard that what about the Hoover Dam?
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, like the people, I think it was the Hoover Dam. The people that died, they just kind of threw them into the dam, maybe?
That's kind of barbaric, but...
Yeah. If I die, don't concrete me.
They was a different breed back then.
Okay.
Can't stop work, boys.
Can't stop.
So keep this train rolling.
Can't stop. Won't stop. We're going back into cryptid territory now. Yeehaw. We are.
I hope that it has to do with the cowboy.
It sounds like a cowboy.
Okay, cool.
This cryptid is named Tahoe Tessie.
That is a cowboy name.
Tahoe Tessie is said to inhabit the depths of Lake Tahoe, the lake that straddles the border between California and Nevada. Reports of Tessie date back to the mid-19th century, and over time, the creature has become a well-known part of local folklore. And one of the earliest accounts, I found the news article for this, and unfortunately, it's so hard to read that I was gonna try to pull it on here and put it, because this is just fucking bonkers. and whoever Mr. Coggins is, I give the benefit of the doubt to a lot of people, right? Because that's what I'm here for. I like the weirdness. I'm not there to experience it. I'm not there to call it bullshit, but this is a little much for me.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of the earliest accounts of large creature in Lake Tahoe was from 1865, when a guy by the name of I.C. Coggins, a socialite from San Francisco, reported seeing a massive, when I say massive, I mean fucking massive, serpent-like creature that he described as having a head 14 feet wide.
Oh, wow.
And a body that was over 600 feet long.
Okay, that's a little over-exaggeration.
Really, Mr. Coggins?
How would you guesstimate 600 feet?
I don't even... I don't know. A 14-foot wide head is like bigger than my living room.
That is... I'd say that that dude's a little bit of a tall tailor.
Dude, like, what the hell? Like, there was a whole write-up from 1865, and I found the article, and then whoever the illustrator is deserves his kudos, because he drew this sumbitch, and it's something. It's something.
That's wild.
Needless to say, more recent encounters with Tahoe Tessie, she's lost a bit of weight, kind of shrunk in a little bit, kind of brought it back.
I also love the fact that they're ultra fucking lazy. They literally just stole Nessie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Without question, they just jacked Nessie.
It's the sister. It's the sister cryptid. In the 1980s, multiple reports of an unidentified creature in Lake Tahoe emerged from witnesses, including hikers, an optician, and local law enforcement. They described a large, dark figure moving beneath the water's surface, often creating noticeable wakes. One hiker claimed to have seen the creature as big as a rowboat, with white caps forming around what appeared to be its mouth. In the 1980s, Mike Conway, a local TV station owner, reported seeing a humped creature during a commercial shoot. Wow. During a commercial shoot at Zephyr Cove. He claimed several children shouted, "It's Tessie," when the water began to rock unexpectedly. However, Conway stated that the footage was later destroyed. Classic. In 2005, Mickey Daniels, a longtime Lake Tahoe fisherman and former sheriff's officer, described seeing a large V-shaped wave cutting through the lake's calm waters, which he believed was not caused by any known fish or boat. Around the same time, visitors Ron Talmage and Beth Douglas reported seeing a dark shape with multiple humps approximately 100 yards from the shore at Tahoe Park Beach. Although no photographic evidence was obtained, the sighting contributed to the ongoing accounts of strange shapes moving through the lake. Tahoe Tessie, California's own Loch Ness Monster.
Cowboy snake.
The 600 feet, 14-foot wide dome lake monster.
I mean, I would be
600 feet is
extremely terrified.
Massive.
Yeah.
Think about the things that thing would have to eat to support a body that huge.
Everything.
Yeah. I don't think Coggins would have made it out of there, because he would have been a snack.
And like I said, very... very unusual that someone would specifically say 600 feet.
That is specific.
Yeah.
And that's like,
it's such a random number. Like I would compare it. Not that it's close, but you would say, I feel like you would be like, that thing was as long as a mile. Yeah. Had to been, it was huge.
And at that point, like why stop at 600 feet? Like, if you're going to make something people aren't going to believe, send it. The thing was,
it was 4,000 feet, guys.
76 miles long. Had a a head the size of the moon.
Its tail reached the other side of the planet.
Yeah, it was just one big circle.
Down, yeah, it just goes down to the core of the planet.
California's got some weird ones, which we're gonna stick with the cryptids here, and we're going right to the Proctor Valley Monster, also known as the Proctor Valley Minotaur.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that.
Which is,
we don't have too many Minotaur stories.
We had that one from Illinois. Was it a Minotaur? Yes. Or was it a Centaur?
Centaur.
So that's,
wasn't it like a, it was a mechanical, like a mechanical centaur or something like that?
Yeah, top half man, bottom half. I guess you could be bottom half man, top half horse, and still be a centaur.
That's a fucked up combination.
Which would you rather fight? A centaur, top half man, or a centaur, top half horse?
I would want top half horse.
Yeah, see, top half man is going to be real fast, right?
Oh, yeah.
And going to be able to throw human-like punches.
Yeah, and then he's got his kicks.
Oh, yeah, true. Top half horse, you're going to have two hooves, which if they connect is going to hurt. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I'm going to say a horse is going to be able to take way more of a punch than a man ever is going to be able to take.
Yeah.
So that changes, but too.
That means, cover your ears, ladies and gentlemen, that means odds are that thing's got some gonads.
Whop. Whop.
Take you down just like a sack of potatoes.
What you do is you take them out back, tie them to a tree, get your old garden shovel, and you beat it to death the same way they did in Black Beauty.
That's
old Yeller?
No.
Which one of those? Happened?
I don't think so. I think that's fake news.
My bad.
I do like the idea, though, of just like getting a rope and tying it to a fence post and going, now you can't go nowhere.
Sorry, gotcha. Sorry, just throw a saddle on him and ride him around.
Yeah, just like the old horses, just put a harness on him and strap him to a pole and just laugh at him.
So, yeah,
or if it was the lower half man, you could juke behind them. And you remember the old thing we did in high school when someone was walking, you kick their back leg so it sweeps around.
Oh, yeah.
Gets the other leg and then they fall down.
So this Proctor Valley Monster is said to be a Bigfoot type entity or a bovine like creature that roams around Proctor Valley near San Diego, California. So people have seen either multiple or the same, or it's a Bigfoot wearing a cow skull, or I don't know, because a Bigfoot and a Minotaur are two very different things.
I really like the idea of
bull squatch.
Bigfoot wearing animal heads.
Yeah.
Which sucks. I mean, realistically, kind of makes sense.
It's not that good a camouflage when you're a 12-foot tall ape wearing a cow head.
No, but there's something so like primal and aggressive about it.
Yeah, it probably wears ancient skin.
Well, that's gross. That's just gross. However, it feels like something ancient peoples would do.
Yeah.
You know, wearing animal heads and stuff like that, whether it's for deception hunting, or fear, yeah, hunting, all types of stuff. It just, I don't know. The imagery of Bigfoot wearing like a bull head resonates.
Pretty cool, huh?
It is kind of cool.
This particular road, Proctor Valley Road, is known for strange happenings, animal activity, paranormal activity. One story from the road's history is of a teenage couple who, I forgot about this. This is folklore 101, right? So as soon as you hear it, you're going to know that it's something else, but it's tied to this particular Proctor Valley monster.
Good.
So this teenage couple are out parking, doing what teenage couples do, play cards, you know, obviously, hang out on their phones.
Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, play Magic the Gathering. But as they go to leave, the car won't restart. Maybe they had a flat tire. Not sure. It's folklore. The boy gets out to investigate, never comes back. The girl stays inside, terrified because she hears scratching outside the car.
Oh, boy.
The police find next day the boyfriend dead, torn, bloody, dangling from a tree. Why his hands brush the car.
Yeah, heard that one before.
Yeah. Yep. Producing the scratching noises. Sometimes in the lore of the story, huge, monstrous footprints are found nearby. As the legend of the Proctor Valley Monster grew, it's described as a 7 to 8 foot tall, hairy, humanoid, Bigfoot, sometimes cow-like, bull-headed animal with multiple body parts in the wrong place, which also is freaking weird.
That's way weird.
Yeah.
It sounds like a government experiment going wrong.
Proctor Valley Monster is assumed to be responsible for the livestock mutilation that occurs every now again in the area. The Bonita Museum in Chula Vista has a casting of a strange footprint alleged to be that of the monsters. There is another story here. For years, I've heard about the stories of the Proctor Valley Monster. Proctor Valley is northeast of Otay Lakes. Some say it's a deranged cow. Others say it's San Diego's version of the Bigfoot. Can anyone shed some light on this truth? And someone decides to try to do that. It says La Jolla has its munchkins. Old Town has its ghost. East County has its Proctor Valley Monster. The old monster seems to be a textbook urban legend, or rural legend in this case. It has all the classic symptoms. Teenager Lover's Lane, yada, yada, yada. Proctor Valley Monster stories go back to at least the 60s, probably earlier. And then it goes in to talk about the date. One person claimed to have seen a huge flying beast that was similar to the Proctor Valley Monster. Humanoid, hairy, bullhead.
Basquatch.
So it kind of also goes in with having body parts in the wrong place. The odds of it having wings aren't really that far-fetched, since it's got all these other body parts Frankensteined onto it. And again, as we heard, I can't remember what episode we did, in 1970s, a local radio DJ organized a nighttime monster hunt. He gathered thousands of teens in the area and later reported that they had seen something like an oddly built cow running around the forests in the area. Ensuing publicity is probably responsible for the persistence of the deranged cow story. A psychiatrist who once lived in the valley claimed to have seen another humanoid-like creature near the hills of his house. The doctor shied from publicity, saying he wants to write his own book on the events. Third-hand accounts say that he described a 7 to 8 feet tall hairy creature accompanied by two smaller entities. He had made a plastered cast of the footprint, which was 16 inches long and 8 inches wide. He said he also had many strange happenings around his home. Park rangers and other investigators could never confirm the sightings, but plenty of campers and area residents, even sheriff's deputies, claimed to have seen some sort of large humanoid hairy type thing tromping over the hills. One Bigfoot investigator notes that the nearby Viejas Indians have a legend of some similar creature that guards their burial grounds, which I tried to look that up. I dug around on the internet to see if I could find maybe the lore behind that, but I couldn't. So I can't verify or not.
It'd be cool if you did find more lore about that.
Yeah. Saying that there's a minotaur that protects their burial grounds.
A lot of that is very lorey, though. There are a lot of aspects to it that are very lorey.
Especially the teenager thing. Like, I feel like 100%. People were seeing stuff and nobody was paying attention to it. So they're like, hey, look what happened.
I also love the fact that somebody described it as a misshaped cow.
Look at this weird bovine.
I can respect that. I don't know. All I do is picture like literally like a lopsided cow running through the woods
with wings.
Yeah.
Flying through the trees.
And it just runs into everything because it's lopsided.
This next one is going to be a little different because it's just a lot of people's encounters that I found and kind of placed together, but it's I had to include it. So whatever, you're just going to have to listen to it because that's what we do. But we're going to Grass Valley and the human sacrifices at the Round Room in the Satan House. So that's where we are.
Sounds fun.
This Round Room is essentially an old structure that's basically just like this round big round concrete ring. It's probably 20 feet in diameter. Not huge, but enough that a dozen or so people could get inside it comfortably. It's rumored to be the remnants of an old water tank for a town water supply found in Grass Valley at the base of Wolf Mountain. The first thing I found was directions and some encounters that had happened. The round room, Grass Valley, California. Proceed past Fairgrounds five miles to the dump. Left on next road, which is Wolf Mountain Road, take it back a quarter of a mile and you'll see it at a dead end. At the top of the mountain, sharp left on a short driveway, you'll reach the round room. Supposedly, it's an old water tank. This place has been a local legend for many years. Cold spots and apparitions reported. The acoustics inside will amaze you. The story goes that Dr. Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, moved his commune here in the late 60s, held seances and rituals in this room for several years. All inquiries made by the submitter of this post to the Church of Satan were denied and was told that they have no knowledge of such events ever happened here. However, the locals have been here forever, swear it to be true. Whatever the veracity of the history may be, the round room has a deep and pervading negative presence. Be careful here. There have been several murders over there over the years, reportedly by people in white robes. Blood was found at the site, but no bodies. Truth has been taken to the grave. Please be safe. The Round Room in the Church of Satan. Church of Satan was founded in the 1960s by infamous cultist Anton Sander LaVey. A devotee of Aleister Crowley, LaVey quickly attracted a following for his intimate knowledge of the dark side of the paranormal. Although many have scoffed at the Church of Satan as being a mere fad or social club, LaVey was a true believer, declaring in 1966 to be year one Anno Santanus. He quickly believed in building his cult. LaVey had a keen interest in summoning beings from other planes and learning the secrets that they may hold. A rumor has that he was quite successful at it too. Most famously, LaVey cast a curse on actress Playboy model Jane Mansfield. Mansfield died shortly thereafter in a car accident. Northern California was home of the church, and the Round Room in particular was known as a favorite spot for their bizarre rituals. Although the Church of Satan denies LaVey had expeditions here, and most of his advanced disciples... Let me rephrase that. Although the Church of Satan denies that LaVey led expeditions of most of his advanced disciples to the Round Room, Grass Valley locals still to this day speak of strange noises and inexplicable lights that would emanate from the area at night. The floor of the Round Room is said to be covered by an enormous pentagram that is still almost perfect and pristine after all these years. LaVey is long gone and the Church of Satan have diminished in power. Whatever he did in the Round Room years ago, though, still resonates to this day. Things he summoned are still there. The dark energy of the Round Room. Stepping through the threshold of the old graffitied water tank, one feels an immediate sense of dread, fear, and negativity. Dark thoughts filter through the mind and bad memories emerge. This phenomenon has been widely commented on by ghost hunters and paranormal investigators alike from across the globe. The exact cause is debatable. Some say that a powerful supernatural force inhabits the round room and touches its visitors either out of curiosity or out of just malice, brushing an invisible spectral claw across the mortals. Wow, these people are trying to really write. Brushing an invisible spectral claw across the flesh of mortal intruders, these entities imbues them with the measure of all dark thoughts. Others maintain that the round room's negative energy is caused by not by a conscious force or being, but rather a remnant of the years of rituals that took place there. Animal sacrifice was a commonplace in the heyday of the Church of Satan, and rumor has it that at least one poor, unwitting human met a dark in there as well, which I also dug into that, and I could not find any specific unalivings that happened in that particular area, like in the round room. So again, it might just be some weird folklore. The round room affects everyone in subtle ways. Entering has a tangible effect on our sanity. People who are especially sensitive to psychic energy should exercise caution in exploring the area. The forces are so powerful that these people can be sent into an unwitting sensitive reeling. One ghost hunter found out the hard way that she was psychically aware. Stepping into the round room, she felt as though a physical force slammed into her. and she had been struck by an invisible fist. Reeling back from the pain and confusion, she fell to the ground and did not recover until her friends drug her away from the site. Again, although the official Church of Satan disavows any knowledge of the Round Room, the activities that took place there, there are members of the organization who still embrace their leader's purpose. Explorers visiting the Round Room in recent years have found evidence of people spending time there, beer cans, magazines from partying teenagers, also more sinister things. A close inspection of the concrete floors reveals multiple bloodstains, some old, some disturbingly new, very large syringes suitable to sedate cows or other large animals are sometimes found scattered about. Empty paint cans are found, mostly black and red, used to adorn the walls with graffiti. Symbols and shapes and words in forgotten languages fill all the surfaces of the Round Room. Small statues and figurines ranging from recognizable to the inexplicable are also found. A wolf's head is one common theme of these objects and graffiti. So, Round Room. Were there satanic sacrifices there? Apparently, but also we don't have any evidence that there was.
I mean, there's bloodstains on the floor.
There was, but.
Also creepy that if it's true, people in white robes are the ones that got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a weird statement because a lot of times you picture culty stuff, black robes, of course, it's classic. It's the subtle move to go to every time. But I can also see red. Red's usually another color affiliated warning with that type of stuff.
Ominous.
Yeah.
I did also find some other ghost hunters that went there and were talking about like their EMF readers messing up, their EVPs not working, their cameras flipping on and off, like typical paranormal stuff. So there is something something energetically going on at the site.
Yeah, it makes sense if a lot of people have been taken there.
Yeah. I only found one reference to the supposed Satan house, kind of. There were people, when I was looking into the Round Room, once I found the initial article, I started looking into it. And when I was digging, people kept referencing the Satan house. So I'm assuming this was like another area on the property where essentially LaVey and his followers stayed at, like a little commune, but it burnt down. Someone gotcha. Set it on fire and burnt it down. I did find this Reddit post about someone who had actually been there. They said, yes, I've been there a few times. It was very scary and very dark. I was told that it used to be a boys' home, but bad abuse had happened there while the boys were staying. It may have hosted other platforms beside being a boys' home, but I can't remember. I lived in a nearby town, but had a lot of different friends that lived in the area. Currently, I've been living in town for over 17 years. The town is wonderful, beautiful, inspiring, touristy, and dark. To this day, locals know about the Satan House. The first time I went there with a bunch of guys, and it was a nighttime. Every time we visited was in the night. We were in high school around 95. There was graffiti everywhere. Bad stuff. Pentagrams. Everything that follows that kind of darkness. Flyers were everywhere of missing kids. Everywhere. Very sad. Very dark. Second time, same ordeal. There was a refrigerator in there that was glowing. It was as if the door wasn't closed all the way and the light would be peeking out through the cracks, but it was closed and the low beam of white light was kind of protruding around the edge of it. The weird thing was that there was no electricity working in the house. The Round Room was sketch. Rocks stacked everywhere. We found dead chicken carcasses too. It was sad. The house felt like it was hosting more darkness than the Round Room. Third visit, the building was particularly burnt down. Some sort of feeling and scene, but darker. No flyers, but more occult graffiti. A neighbor dude snuck up on us and freaked us out. He was wearing a mask and carrying a hatchet. He was harmless. He was our age and stoked that most of us were girls. So some weird shit going on in that particular area of Grass Valley and Wolf Mountain. Again, if anybody...
Also weird that they mention about LaVey being very good at summoning things.
Yeah, entities from other realms.
Yeah, and then you have the whole conspiracy in regards to Taylor Swift being connected to his daughter.
They look a lot alike.
And
Taylor Swift is an old god.
Yeah, there's that rumor as well.
If you don't know what we're talking about, join the Patreon.
Very ironic.
Strange. And he was a dedicated Crowley practitioner who also supposedly summoned the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
So if Crowley summoned the Loch Ness Monster, that means Tahotessi was there before, which means old Nessie stole the name from Tahotessi.
Didn't see that one. I was thinking you were going to say, whether it be LeVay or whoever summoned.
He did. And named it before, but after the Loch Ness Monster was summoned and named. Time is soup. Doesn't matter.
Oh, it's also true.
But on that note, I just touch on the Dark Watchers a little bit here to round it off because it's a cool name.
I do love it because of the name.
And it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
So if you want more on the Dark Watchers, go back to our California Cryptids episode because I kind of delve into it there. But the Dark Watchers are a group of mysterious, dark, human-like creatures who stand on the hills and ridges and peaks of Santa Lucia Mountains in California and Mount Mingus and Mount Graham of Arizona. They supposedly watch those who wander into the mountains but are not aggressive. They are often spotted around twilight and are usually seen staring upwards toward the sky while standing atop the mountains. They seem to be some sort of spirit, however, their origins are currently unknown. They've been seen many times over the years, with stories about them dating back to the Chumash Indian legends. They're mentioned in a short story called Flight by John Steinbeck. Steinbeck. And the iconoclastic poet Robinson Jeffers wrote about, quote, forms that look human, but certainly are not human, in his poem, Such Counsels You Gave Me. Sometime in the mid-60s, a Monterey Peninsula local and former high school principal went on a hiking trip in the Santa Lucias when he suddenly spotted a dark figure in a hat and cape standing on a rock and surveying the land. When the principal called out to the other hikers, the creature vanished in thin air. More sightings continue to be made in the area to this day. So, California people, anybody in the Grass Valley area that's been to the Red Room or the Round Room, let us know. If you go there and you can send us pictures, do so. But yeah, that's just some little weirdness from California. Nothing.
The Round Room would also be one that you'd have to be very objective in if you're going to investigate it, because that type of lore behind it, I think a lot of people are going to go in there expecting bad shit and just instantly freak themselves out before they even get into the place.
And I feel
if there was reality behind it, then yeah, it's a dark place and you're probably going to have a lot of malevolence there.
You're going to want some protection. And
yeah,
it's weird when you go into those areas expecting bad stuff, because you almost like open yourself up to it. You almost manifest it.
Also
like,
true. Yeah.
Like, I'm ready for shit to be weird, and you get in there and it's weird. So be careful if you go there. You can take pictures from the outside, whatever you want to do. If you
go in there, you RC car with a camera on it, GoPro.
Yeah. Take a picture of the giant pentagram in the center of the floor. Yeah. You got to see if that part of the lore is true. While you're there, while you're in California hanging out, take a picture of the Minotaur. I don't know. Do cool stuff. But that kind of furthers our 40 and 50 a little bit. We will make it to your state eventually. I promise.
One of these days.
What's up? Colorado should be up next. If we're going alphabetical, I think.
I've never heard too many cryptids from Colorado. Oh. Or things from Colorado other than the airport.
Mountains. Yeah, we need to do a Denver airport.
I was just thinking that the other day.
Old Blucifer.
Yeah.
But again, thanks for hanging out with us this week. We're glad you chose us to get you through your work drive, get you through work period. Hope everybody's having a good time. Everybody's being careful. Check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Come join the cult. Until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And if you're in California and you've seen any of these weird ass cryptids, shoot us an email.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.